Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 315. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 gray co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. It's good. Good to be back on the mic. Another good week of ball and a lot of good talking points. I'm excited to be back and happy Father's Day to all the out there. So it's been a good day. Hope you all had a good one. Obviously, we're listening to this on Monday, but we had a good Sunday at Father's Day. If you are a father, spent time with family. It's what it's all about. So I'm doing really good. Hope you are as well.
Yes, it was a good day. Good Father's Day today. And so obviously spent a lot of time with my kids. Went out and had lunch down on the water. It was a gorgeous day out, which was perfect. Because like the last couple Father's Days up here, it had been gloomy weather, which is early mid-June in Maine is very hit or miss. It's either like the rainy spring weather still or the summer weather comes out. So luckily we had a nice day today and did a lot of fun things. Now we get to cap off the day talking about our beloved favorite sport in the entire world, baseball. And we got a lot of fun kind of discussion points today. Obviously, you got some three up, three down because it's Monday. We'll be doing some hot or cold hitting prospects and talking several teams here with some fun players that are in AA, AAA that could see some action here. So we'll talk about the situations there. When do we see these guys? How do we see these guys? And how much impact they could possibly make. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping, you can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more from each of us. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Those always help out a lot. And of course, check out all the great things going on over at RotoBaller. There's so much great content. Take it from two people that write there. There's so much great content, and that's just baseball, obviously, basketball, football, there's WNBA content, soccer, hockey, like everything you could want there. Use that code TOOLSHED at checkout, get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. So let's start out with some interesting situations here. We got, I think, five teams here that have some players. Yeah, we're talking about Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, Minnesota and the Yankees. I guess those are all AL teams and realize that worked out like that. And then we'll talk about a couple of pitchers at the end as well. Let's start with Baltimore because why not? Yeah, they're very loaded team, but still have a loaded AAA. We'll start with the pitcher though. I know there's a lot of hitters. We got Chase McDermott still in AAA and actually pitching pretty well of late. And the major league rotation has dealt with some injuries. You know, recently John Means has to have another Tommy John surgery. So we don't even see him again. So maybe even 2026. and Kyle Bradish back on the IL with another, you know, elbow injuries. Who knows when he's back or if he's even back this year. Add in Dean Kramer's on the IL as well and Tyler Wells. So a lot of guys on the IL from that Baltimore pitching staff. No, but they still have five guys in that rotation. Obviously, the big names, Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. And Cade Povich came up recently. Still got Cole Irvin and Albert Suarez as well, who has really been the glue to that rotation. He's pitching pretty well this year. But it seems that they're now out of other options. So maybe McDermott is that next guy. Obviously, Chris, he can strike out a lot of guys. We've seen that from him for a while now. But also, the walk rate's been on the higher end as well. So I guess, when do you think we see McDermott, and would he be someone you'd be looking to target this year?
I think he's as good of a target as Cade Povich was. You look, and AAA right now is a nightmare for pitchers. It's not a good situation to be in at all. And yet, Chase McDermott's been one of the best arms in AAA this year. I think that he's held his own, despite the walk rate being high. You know, I think that otherwise he's shown some really good skills. He's striking out near 33% of hitters. He's got a really high swing and strike rate. The walk rate is way higher than you want to see. But I think that McDermott is a guy that probably steps in the majors and can perform. Swing and miss stuff's certainly there. And I think the swing and miss stuff's probably better than Cade Povich, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
We're looking at McDermott. And he's had quite a few starts with at least eight strikeouts over his last, I have to count this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So over his last eight starts, six of those have had eight strikeouts or more, and another 7K outing as well. His most recent start was not, it was just three strikeouts. But otherwise, I mean, like, the bat missing stuff has been there. And I think that McDermott has improved the strike throwing enough from last year. You know, I think last year there were some major question marks as far as what would the walk rates land like. And while the walk rates haven't been great this year, the strike rates have been good enough where I think, okay, yeah, I think this guy can be okay, especially getting out of the AAA with the ABS. I think he's going to be fine. McDermott probably steps in a spot, and I think he's ready to go. I don't really see what else he needs to prove at this point. He's been in AAA since last year. He had 50 innings last year and 64 and two thirds this year. At this point, just get the guy in the majors and see what he can do. Maybe it's keeping him down as a trade chip, and that's a possibility. I wouldn't rule that out completely. The Orioles are going to make a big splash, so maybe they just want to keep him in the minors to keep the numbers looking decent, and that's a possibility. But at the end of the day, I think that he's ready to come up and make that splash that we want to see.
Yeah, I've been thinking that too. And I actually had an old high school buddy of mine messaged me the other day asking about some guys, and McDermott was one of them. And he was asking, because he plays in an AL-only league, do you think McDermott gets dealt? And I was like, you know, possibly. Now, especially if they're going to be without one of their big three. Obviously, Baltimore has postseason aspirations. It look like they're a team that could make a legitimate run to the World Series. Are they comfortable with any of the other options they currently have to be their number three behind their big two there with Burns and G-Rod? I don't know. They're decent arms, sure, but you trust them to be your number three in a postseason format. So I do wonder if they go out and try to get a piece, whether it's like a Jesus Luzardo or whoever it may be, and maybe McDermott or Povich or both could be included in a return package. So I wonder, the next, you know, month or so, or a little over a month leading up to the trade deadline, will be pretty interesting to see if they go out and get an arm. I think they'll probably wait and see exactly how long Bradish will be out, but doesn't really sound good right now. So we shall see on that front. But yeah, regardless if it's Baltimore or if he gets traded to another team, yeah, it's definitely upside with McDermott. But yeah, he's calling that line of, can he survive as a higher walk rate guy in that 10 to 12% range? Or is it going to be more of a detriment if he's still up in that 13, 14, 15 plus percent range? That kind of remains to be seen, because he's always been, every year, it's not like it's just been this year, it's been in years past as well, but plenty of strikeout upsides. Maybe he's one of those guys with a little bit higher ratios, but provides that value in the strikeout department. It's definitely a guy worth monitoring for sure. And then the hitters here, we've been talking about these guys all year, and a few of them have already gotten the shot with Holiday, Norby, and Kierstad have all gone up and back down and had a couple injuries along the way as well. But like at this point, they seem to be really, I don't know, like they're still running out Ramon Urias 2/3 of the time. Roughly, he's playing, like in the last 6 games, he's played 4 of them, and they're still running out. Mateo has played 4 times in the last 6 games, though. He's been on the bench both games over the weekend here. So, like, those guys are the two that are really clogging up this offense and keeping the other guys like Holiday and Mayo and Norby out of it, at least for a full time. I mean, do you think we see any of these guys full time this year? I think it was weird to think that we're not going to see any of them in an expanded role, and maybe there's going to be an injury here that could really help this situation. But so far, not like either of them that have come up have hit well so far. We know, you know, Holiday had his struggles, but Kirsten and Norby weren't really given a full shot either. So, like, how do you see the situation playing out the rest of the year, Chris? Like, do you see any, you know, sizable impact from any of the big four bats, or, you know, Mayo, Holiday, Norby, or Kierstead?
No, where's the fit? And I think that's the question. Is Mayo is probably the one that could fit. Ramon Urias has been fine. He's been their third baseman, so he's been okay. But like, can Mayo come up and displace him? Yeah, absolutely. I think that. But I also, at this point, wouldn't be shocked if Mayo spends most of the year in AAA. You give him a cup of coffee down the stretch and keep his prospect eligibility for next year to make a run at Rookie of the Year. Wouldn't shock me a bit if that was the case, because this team could go out and trade for a star. They could go out and add a star hitter to this lineup pretty easily. They could go out and add a star pitcher. They have the depth to do so. And right now, you've seen how this works. Kyle Stowers is up, and he's played once in the last 6 days. So the prospect, and I know Kyle Stowers technically isn't a prospect anymore, but you look at how it's shaken out for all these guys, and it's not, the playing time's not there. Like, Ryan O'Hearn isn't going anywhere. He keeps swinging a really good bat. And yep. I thought maybe earlier in the year that he would be the one that gets displaced. But no, he's swinging a good bat. Ryan Mountcastle's been swinging it well. Anthony Santander's been arguably the third best hitter in this lineup, which is crazy to say. Like, where are they fitting? Mullins has bounced back a little bit. And it's in the outfield. Obviously, Kowser is playing regularly at this point. That's the best path to playing time, I think, is in the outfield. But even there, who's sitting? Is Mullins sitting? Is Mullins traded? Maybe they look to move a Mullins. I don't know. And then I would say third base is the next best spot to find your way into this lineup. I don't think Jackson Holiday gets much run the rest of the year. I think they come back and have to build his confidence up significantly, because he's been struggling in AAA some, and obviously injured now. So that puts a damper on that. And then you look at Ramon Urias, and yeah, he's got a sub 300 OBP. It's not great. So I would say if anybody, it's Mayo. McDermott has a shot to jump in there. But I also at the same time wouldn't be shocked if, like I said, Mayo doesn't get significant run and they just keep him down, obviously bring him back slow and see how it works out. But I don't know. It's a tough spot for all of these guys to be in.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much we see these guys this year. I mean, especially with some injuries mixed in, as we both mentioned, that's kind of, you know, cost some of these guys some time. He's hurt now. Mayo's just coming back from an injury. You got to wonder, are they in Norfolk for most of the year? Or I don't know where they got fitting. It's like Westberg has been playing, you know, pretty split between second and third. Obviously, he's been pretty damn good this year and one of the, you know, more underrated guys in baseball right now. And even like Mateo hasn't been too bad, and Rice hasn't been too bad. So even like the low men on the totem pole, so to speak, in Baltimore right now haven't been bad. Like, they don't have any guys that are like really struggling right now. So it's hard to see where. So yeah, I don't think any of them are up anytime soon, barring an injury. I think we see one or two of these guys back up for end of the year, but in what capacity, though? Is it just a cup of coffee in September, and then 2025 is the big impact for these guys? We shall see. But maybe the next 6 weeks we'll determine that to see what trade might happen, to open up a spot, or who gets sent out of town. A lot of possibilities here with Baltimore. Next one here, we got the Cleveland Guardians, who have a couple of hitters in AAA right now doing pretty well, with Young Kenzie Noel and Jonathan Rodriguez. You know, Rodriguez already got a shot, was up for, I think it was a couple of weeks, and then got sent back down. But there's definitely a clear path to playing time for these guys. Manzardo's been up, but not really playing a ton. Actually, Rodriguez is back up. I forgot he got recalled here. But do you see any value in Noel or Rodriguez for the rest of the season, Chris? Like, Rodriguez is the one that's really intriguing to me. He's always had a pretty solid bat. And Noel, he's been fun but flawed at times with making not enough contact, but has made some strides this year. So do you see any value here with Rodriguez or Noel for the rest of the season?
There should be. I'm not sure that Rodriguez gets the run, unfortunately. I would like to see him. They've called him up and set him two straight days, which is, you know, a waste, in my opinion. Like, why are you not going to play him? But right now, you've got David Fry playing some outfield, who's mashing. You've also got Stephen Kwan. Obviously, he's not going to, you're not going to take a spot from him. Will Brennan's been fine. I'm sure he's been great. But it's an interesting lineup where I think they could use both these guys. Rodriguez is solid power hitter. His EVs are really good, and he's pretty underrated. And I think that they could use that in this lineup. And so it's surprising to me that they're not finding the time and the opportunity here for these guys, especially, like I said, if they're going to call them up, then they should play them. So with Rodriguez, 108, 90th percentile EV, like, that's near 70 power. 92 mile an hour average EV. He was running an 86% zone contact rate. Like, the dude can play, and everybody wants to write him off based on a really small sample of what, 23 plate appearances that we've seen to this point in the majors, 28. Like, who cares? Like, anybody can go and have a bad week. Like, it happens, especially somebody making their major league debut. I mean, they're wasting away Kyle Manzardo on the bench right now. He's played twice in the last 6 days. I don't know. It's a good question right now. Who fits in this lineup? Who do they want in the lineup? I don't know. I think Noel has a chance to come up, and he could make a really good impact too. Noel was somebody that I really liked for a while, and he wasn't great last year, but he's really coming to his own. He's hitting the living cover off the ball right now. Ninth percentile EV of 109.5. It's one of the highest marks in the minors, which is crazy. And he's actually making respectable contact over the last couple of weeks. That's really ticked up, which is huge. Overall in the year, it's 73% overall and 79% in zone contact, which is okay. Like, it's fine. You would like to see a little better, but he's a power hitter. So at the same time, it's okay. You can get by a little more with this big slugger putting up like a slightly below average contact rates. But then, like, things have really ticked up over the last month. We're looking at an 88% zone contact and a 79% overall contact. The chase rate has trended downward significantly with Noel. He swings and chases a lot. Like, chase rate is going to be high. It's part of his game. Very aggressive. 41% chase on the year, but over the last month, 35%. So that's pretty impressive improvement. And it shows you that he was chasing like 45% previously. Actually, yeah, leading up to that stretch of the last month, he was chasing at 46% of pitches, which is crazy. But he's shown improvement, and the power's there. Like, Noel can absolutely mash, and I think that this is a guy that they need on this roster. Like, I'm shocked that he hasn't got you. Maybe he gets a chance soon. I have no idea what they do with him. Cleveland's a kind of a mystery, but, you know, they're a good ball club, and so maybe they know what they're doing. But I'd love to see these guys get a shot. They've got the lead in the Central. Put the pedal to the metal, and let's see them go.
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering is, can they keep this up, right? Like, I was looking at the standings the other day, and I was surprised. I knew they were doing well, but they had, the second or third best record in all of baseball at that point in time. They don't really – I don't think they have the same roster as the Dodgers do or Baltimore or the Yankees, but they definitely could use a guy like, you know, like a Noel, because – this team is they're actually higher up in the power department than I thought, but they're still like a middle of the road team in terms of power. They rank in the 14 to 17 range in a lot of like power metrics. They're tied for the 13th most home runs with Boston, surprisingly, because Boston hasn't been hitting many home runs lately without Tristan Casas. But yeah, they could definitely use a guy like Noel. But again, like, where does he fit into this picture? They don't have a huge opening anywhere. Brennan is mediocre, but he hasn't been terrible. So I don't think he's been like bad enough to play his way out of the lineup. If they had a true like stud prospect like Mayo or something like that, then yeah, I could see him overtaking a guy hitting like Brennan is, but they don't really have that. So They're starting Daniel Schneeman.
Yeah.
Sounds like a name from the Dr. Seuss book. Not Horton Hears a Who. The Lorax. It sounds like something like a name out of the Lorax or something like that. Or it's a Dr. Seuss name in general. But you know, obviously, Joe Ram will come back off the paternity list here in a couple of days. But yeah, they don't really have a huge opening. Rocio's been playing at shortstop regularly. He's been okay. I mean, Bo Naylor's been struggling, but obviously they have David Fry that can do some catching as well. So yeah, I don't know where this fits in, but both would have some value if they were to get called up. Not shallow league value, maybe 12 plus team leagues. Each guy could has the power at least to make an impact, but we'll see when we see them. Next one here, we got the Houston Astros with a couple guys in AAA hitting very well, Pedro Leon and Shea Whitcomb. We were talking about Leon before we started recording, and we all used to love to make fun of how long Michael Bush was in AAA. Pedro Leon's been in AAA for 500 more plate appearances than Michael Bush. Like Michael Bush was like 900 and something, and Pedro Leon has, let's see, what was it, 1,429 plate appearances in AAA, 323 games. He got to AAA in 2021 for 17 games and then was there for 115 games in 2022, 128 last year, and 63 so far. This year he's been really, really good. Previous years was showing some power speed blend, but too many strikeouts, batting average was terrible. This year he's hitting 297, 386, 533, 17 doubles, 13 home runs, 17 steals, has been caught 8 times, and if you look at throughout his career, hasn't been the most efficient on the base paths. He's right around 267, 70% success rate most years, and he's even trimming the K rate a little bit. It's under 25% right now, which is decent to see there, and a walk rate a little bit above 10%. But I don't, Chris, like maybe they just don't think highly of Leon because, yeah, he has struggled for the most part in AAA over the last few years. It's just weird that they just never gave him a shot whatsoever, even as like a fill-in when there was some injuries or something like that. I think he's been there for over 300 games now. But this is, you know, probably the best version we've seen of Leon in AAA. So maybe he does get a shot soon. Or Shea Whitcomb. What are your thoughts on that?
I wonder if they're just going to trade him.
Maybe.
He's been in AAA since 2021. Are you kidding me?
It's so like, crazy to think about.
Yes. Like, all right. What episode was the Tool Shed at when he made it to AAA? Like, that's absolutely nuts.
I'm going to look that up right now.
Yeah. Like, when let's look when he made his AAA debut. I know it was later in 2021. I'll pull up the game log. You pull up the episode count.
Yep.
He debuted in AAA on July 20th, 2021.
So July 20th, 2021. We had an episode on the 19th of July, 2021. Chris, I want you to guess what episode it was.
All right. July 19th, 2021. 31.
You're close. Episode 39.
Oh, yeah. Not bad.
So 200, quick math, 275 episodes ago.
That's nuts, man. What are they doing? Okay, with the outfield situation they have, like you would have thought he would have got shot at this point, but yeah, I don't know. I think that they've shown their cards enough at this point to tell me that they're not interested. Maybe just trade the guy at this point. Like maybe he could play somewhere. Come on. But yeah, Leon he's playing well. Like there's no denying that he's been really good this year. I mean, he's got 13 homers, 17 steals. He leads AAA with 59 RBI already, slashing 297, 386, 533. His data is really good too. He's absolutely mashing the ball. The chase rate's pretty low at 25%. The contact rates are respectable. Zone contact at 80%. His 90th EV is near 109, like really good stuff. And I'm not sure what else he needs to show. But Whitcomb has also been hitting the ball pretty good too. And I think he's one of the more underrated ones. Shea Whitcomb's always struck out a lot. There's always going to be whiff in his game, but he's cut it pretty significantly this year. Last year in AAA, he struck out 31% of the time, and this year it's down to 23.8%, which is pretty notable because this kid's got the tools. I saw him years ago when he was with Asheville, and he's a fun player. He's got power. He's got speed. He got 15 homers, 12 steals this year. And that was coming off a year last year in which he hit 35 home runs and stole 20 bases. The tools are certainly there. the contact is improved enough, like end zone 82%, that'll play. It's got plus EVs. The chase rate's a little high. He's aggressive, but I think that Whitcomb could get a shot soon. And he's one of those guys that may shock people. Who is this guy? But Shea Whitcomb might come up and just hit. At this point, he's 25 years old. I want to see this guy get a shot. He was drafted in 2020, very end of the 2020 draft, fifth rounder, and the Astros had the 29th pick. And we know that's a five-round draft. He's got a $56,000 signing bonus. So I hope he makes it. He's shown at least he's got enough tools. And the improvements in the K rate this year look really good for him.
Yeah, that power speed blend is really intriguing too. You look at his minor league career; every year he's been, you know, posting pretty solid, you know, home run and stolen base totals. The fact that if you look at per 650 play appearances in his minor league career, he's averaging 32 home runs and 30 steals. I mean, we know he can make an impact. And the approach, the contact, that was a question. Like you said, the K rate dropping this year. That's been huge. Last year, he had 178 strikeouts to 42 walks. So that was a strikeout rate of 30.2%. This year, it's down to 23.8%. And the walk rate is up to 10.9% after being at 7.1% last year. So those are pretty solid improvements there. And he's still on that good power speed pace, 15 and 12 in 61 games, 35 and 20 last year, 19 and 20 year before that. Yeah, definitely intriguing. It might take an injury to get him into the lineup. Both these guys, if they can hit enough, that's still, I think, the question at the major league level. But definitely have that intriguing power-speed blend for fantasy purposes. And Whitcomb can play multiple infield positions too, which could help here. We shall see. But yeah, both pretty intriguing guys for sure. Next team up, Minnesota. You get David Festa, Brooks Lee, maybe even some Zebby Matthews we talked about last episode. In our pitching prospect risers and followers. I think the question is, Vestas in AAA pitching pretty well. Obviously, Zebby Matthews is dominating down in AA. Does he just skip AAA entirely? Brooks Lee's on his way back and one of their top hitting prospects, but he plays short and third, which is currently occupied by Correa and Royce Lewis. So where does he fit in? So how do you see this situation playing out with these guys, Chris? Because even in the rotation, they've had Simeon Woods Richardson come up and pitch fairly well. Chris Paddock is their five right now with SWR. He's been pitching okay. Then you got Lopez, Ryan, and then Ober. So no real spot there either. So do you think either of these three kind of see a significant time this year outside of an injury?
Should they? Probably. It's an interesting team. Like, you look at the team and it's like, where is the fit here? And Festa's pitching his way onto this team, in my opinion. He certainly earned that chance, but the rotation's been good. While it's not been super, like, it's been okay. And I think Paddock's had a bounce back. He had hit a rough stretch at some point. Simeon Woods Richardson has been a pleasant surprise. I really thought he was done. He was last year so bad. And Scout told me they saw him in spring training, like, it was the worst arm he had seen. So to see this bounce back, very good. Joe Ryan and Pablo aren't going anywhere. So yeah, short of an injury, it's tough to find a spot here. You've also got Louis Varland, who has been AAA, and he's also pitching out of long relief mostly. And so they want him to get starts first. I don't know. You've also got Anthony Discalfani. I said that really weird, but Tony Disco. I don't know when he's coming back. He's got a flexor tendon strain. He may be out there. He's got 60, maybe gone for the year. But yeah, Festa is ready. I'm not sure what else he has to prove. I think he's arguably been one of the best pitchers in AAA to this point. The walk rate's a little high, but it's come down. The strike rate looks good. He's doing pretty good with the ABS, honestly. And Zebby Matthews, I think, is just one of the best pitching prospects in the game at this point. And I wouldn't be shocked if they just skipped him over AAA. Not that the ABS would affect a pitcher like Zebby Matthews at all, because he's elite command control, like the best in the minors command control. So I think it's a good point. Do they come up? Maybe it takes an injury. Festa probably gets the first crack. Unless Simeon Woods Richardson just begins to falter completely, then it's hard to see, but he's been good. Like, it's the thing. He's got a 3.29 ERA right now, pitching pretty solid, getting Ks, not walking batters. Yeah, Paddock, I don't know. Does Paddock bump out? Probably not. So it's going to be tough for these guys to find opportunities.
Yeah, the ABS might move Zebby from like a 1% walk rate to like a 1.5% walk rate or something like that. So yeah, I don't think that'll affect him whatsoever. But Yeah, like all three of these guys have intrigue. Especially the two arms. And I do think Festa is next guy up at this point. If Paddock were to go like start struggling, giving up seven earned every outing, or if there's any injury, no, it could be Varland too. But I think that Festa has earned the shots and has obviously the higher upside. So he's the one that's really intriguing here. I think Zebby could be next man up if Festa wasn't here. I think Zebby absolutely could skip AAA. We've seen it before. And Zebby could be a guy that has the stuff and command and control profile to do. But again, if they need another man, it's probably David Festa. And Brooks Lee, I like a decent amount. I mean, he's always been like a top 50-ish caliber prospect for me. Good bat. Where does he play? Short third. You know, hopefully these two guys stay healthy. Obviously, Correa and Lewis both have their fair share of injury issues here over the years. But when they're both, Correa's been pretty solid this year, hitting near 300. And obviously Lewis is either on the IL or hitting dingers and is one of the most exciting players in the game when healthy. So hopefully he can stay healthy. So I don't know where Lee fits in. I don't think he sees a ton of time this year outside of an injury. But I think the one here that sees the most time rest of the season is probably David Festa. Last team here, we got the New York Yankees. Pair of catching prospects here that can also play first base in Augustin Ramirez and Ben Rice. I honestly don't know what the heck Augustin Ramirez is still doing in AA. He's been arguably one of the best hitters in the entire minors this year. I look at in 56 games, 13 doubles, 16 home runs, 13 steals, 296, 379, 582 slash line. Pretty solid walk and strikeout rates as well. So I think he's definitely deserving of a bump here to AAA soon. And then Ben Rice got the bump. What was that, about 2 weeks ago or so? And he's off to a hot start in AAA, hitting 359 in 10 games with a trio of home runs. Overall this year, 279, 395, 539, 15 home runs and 9 steals, and pretty similar and good walk and strikeout rates for him as well. Look at the Yankees lineup here. Obviously, they got Anthony Rizzo at first base, and he's always the He's been starting every single game. So barring injury, I don't really see him going out of the lineup. Catchers from Austin Wells and Jose Trevino, pretty split off and on here. Neither one are great, but Trevino's got that experience. You know, I think if anything, it'd be Austin Wells that would lose time here. But does that mean whoever comes in is just going to be in a strict platoon with Trevino and maybe a 50-50 timeshare? I don't know. Barring injury here, Chris, I'd love to see these guys get in the lineup. I'm very high on both Rice and Ramirez, and I think both of them in general get ranked too low in prospect rankings, but I just don't see, again, barring injury, I don't see them cracking this lineup anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to find a spot. I'd love to see both bats in the majors. Just, yeah, I think that Ben Rice would play really well in that lineup in stadium. Like you said, where does he fit? Does he bump Rizzo out? Rizzo's been picking it up as of late, so at least that's encouraging that he's been a little better. He's had a really rough year, but he's had some moments recently where he's at least been picking up a touch. I look, and it's not been that great. Even I say he picked it up. He's got 4 hits in the last 4 games with a homer. That's, you want to see more, obviously, than just that little bit. But the logical fit would be Rice coming to first base, but I'm not sure I see that happening. It's Rizzo's job right now. I don't see them benching him or DFAing him. Maybe I'm wrong. The Astros DFA'd Jose Abreu. I don't know. The bench is whatever. It's got Grisham. It's got Oswaldo Cabrera, Jahmai Jones, Jose Trevino, and Austin Wells are splitting the catcher duties at this point. And Trevino's picked it up. Wells has struggled, but I don't think they're just going to like stop playing him. Augustin needs to be in AAA. Ramirez is really good. And I think at this point, like, just put him and Rice on the same team, commit to one of them being a first baseman, most likely Ben Rice, if I had to guess, and then go from there. Augustin is the best hitter in AA. Like, it's just what he's absolutely mashed. He's got the contact skills, he's got elite exit velocities. He's got good angles. He's got 16 homers. Yeah, 13 steals is good. He's not going to be a stolen base guy, so I wouldn't get too excited about that. But, yeah, I think an injury probably lets one of them get in. But right now it's tough to find a spot, even though I want both of them to come up. Come on, give them a shot.
With that said, though, I just saw this happen, you know, within the last half an hour in the Sox-Yankees game. Rizzo did leave the game with an injury.
Wow, we manifested it.
I know. I don't have the game up right now because we've been recording for the last 35, 40 minutes. But it was a play. It was a ground ball to Dom Smith at first base, who was going to go for the double play, but looks like the shortstop didn't get over there in time. So he turns around to try to throw to the pitcher covering, and it was a throw up the line towards home plate. So that caused the pitcher to go over into Rizzo, who had to avoid him and crash into the ground on his wrist. Mm. So they took him out of the game. It looks like it was his, I believe, I'm trying to see which wrist it was. Looks like his right, but which one is he? I'm trying to look at the replay here. Yeah, I think it was his right wrist from the looks of it. He's flexing the left one, actually, so maybe it was his left one. Regardless, he's out of the game right now, so I'm sure they'll have x-rays and further imaging done. But maybe by the time you listen to this on Monday, we know what the deal is with Rizzo, so that might be the path right there. So hopefully, I like Rizzo. Hopefully he's not hurt.
Yeah. Don't want him to be hurt, obviously.
Yeah, and obviously he's a really fun dude. Like, he seems like he's just a good dude. And I think that's why, like, even if he is struggling a little bit, I don't think they take him out of the lineup. I think he would have to be as bad as Abreu to get out of this lineup, because I think his veteran leadership, even though they have a lot of veterans on this team, it's not like it's a young team and all, but I think he's so well-liked, or at least that's just how it appears to be. We shall see on Rizzo, so maybe Rice will get some time here. I think he would be up before Ramirez. Last set of names here, not from one specific team, just a few arms here. We got Christian Scott, Max Meyer, Shane Boz, and Ricky Tiedemann. If you had to stash one of these guys, Chris, which would it be? Because Scott and Meyer have already been up this year. Boz was up in years past before the injury. And Scott pitched pretty well. They sent him back down to manage his innings, or that's the line that they use. Same with Max Meyer. Then they say, oh, he'll be up soon. And everyone thought it'd be this past Friday. And they started Sean Anderson, who I'm sure everyone's heard of before on Friday. And then Shane Boz is working his way back from injury, pitched pretty well in AAA. And Tiedemann's coming back from injury as well, just had an outing at the complex level. So which of these guys do you think provides the most value this year? Probably, I'm probably going Christian Scott here. I still think he's back up pretty soon. I want to say Boz, but I just don't know how much they let him go this year. I think they treat him with kid gloves, as they have been. And maybe next year they let him go a little bit more, but I'd probably go Scott or Meyer myself, but what are your thoughts here on these four?
Yeah, like you, I'd like for it to be Boz. Right now, you've got five guys in this rotation in Tampa, and maybe they want to go to a six. Like, it's possible. Like, you don't want to stretch Pepio out too far this year. Taj Bradley, similar case. They may be one that benefits from a six-man. Boz obviously benefits significantly from that, but we're also talking about Jeffrey Springs coming back soon. He's pretty certain he's back rehabbing. He's in AAA right now. That's he could be back at any point. You also have Drew Rasmussen, who will be back at some point this year, if I'm not mistaken. It may be later in the year, but Springs is at least getting close now. So, yeah, there's a couple more, you know, battles going on here for Boz to get in that rotation. We will see how it all shakes out. I think Scott's probably the one to. Max Meyer situation is beyond weird. I think we've ranted about that one enough. Like, the Marlins toying with him is just stupid, in my opinion. They really had no reason to send him down. I think that they screwed with his head by doing so. He's pitching very well in the majors. And I know they say they want to manage his innings. That's fine. Like, I get that. But, you know, I think it was a mistake to bring him up and let him pitch like he did, and then just send him down. They've managed his innings pretty clearly in the minors. He's hasn't thrown more than four in a start. So, I don't know. Christian Scott would be my pick here. Tiedemann, hate to say it, but I just don't think he's going to stay healthy. I think he's going to come back in rehab, make five starts, and potentially hit the shelf again. I just have zero trust right now in Ricky Tiedemann. He's thrown a third of an inning so far on rehab. I just really worry. Every time he builds back up, he gets hurt again. And so I just have zero faith that he can pitch, unless maybe they say it. Maybe this is the final straw. They say we're going to throw him in the bullpen at this point, because it's been continual injury after injury. And I don't know. Obviously, they're going to want him to be a starter. I'm just not sure that he's going to do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, as much as everyone knows, I love Ricky Tiedemann. I've seen him live, and he's one of the most fun arms I've ever seen live. But, yeah, you really got to question what do you get from him, if anything, this year, and is he a starter long-term? I think at this point I'd probably say 60-40 reliever. But for this year, I do think he's up this year. I think they want him up, but in what capacity? Is it just as a reliever, just to keep building his arm back up? I think that might be the case we're looking at here. So, yeah, for out of these four, I would say he's probably the one I'd put the least amount of stock in for 2024. Yeah, I'd go Scott, then Meyer, then Boz, and then Tiedemann last here, unfortunately. All right, let's head over to three up, three down here with some hot or cold hitting prospects over the last week or so. We'll start out in Colorado with Cole Kerrig, who's a really fun prospect. He plays all over the diamond. Let's look at his defensive breakdown this year. Actually, it's just been center field and shortstop, so hasn't played any catcher this year, but it's a pretty fun offensive profile. He's a phenomenal athlete, plus runner, and has shown solid contact skills as well. I think the big X factor here is how much power does he add? This year, five home runs in 56 games so far. But that goes with 25 steals and a 288, 367, 464 slash line, and hitting 354, 392, 479 with a home run and four steals over the last 10 days. Scored 8 runs over that time as well. So how high do you think a guy like Cole Carey can climb? I think the power is the big X factor here, as I mentioned, but what are your thoughts here on this guy?
I like the profile. He's not going to catch. I think that's clear at this point. The value, yeah. There's a lot of value if he caught, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This guy catches but plays all over the board. Sign me up. But still, I think the versatility is nice. He's played some center field. He's played some shortstop. Like, all those things are valuable when you can play all over the board. Kerrig's been really good. He's a good athlete. He steals bases, hits the ball hard, and he makes a lot of contact and gets on base. I think that he's like a borderline, I think it's probably close to a top 100 prospect at this point, but I'm hesitant to go like too high on him. I don't know. I have some reservations still, and it could come apart really quick. Like, I know he's second rounder. There were some questionable things at San Diego State, like chase rates, contact rates, etc. And like, how much power does he actually get to? And I think that's still a question as well, because he's in pretty hitter-friendly environment right now in high A. So you naturally should expect some home runs. And he's not getting the huge home runs by any means, but I think he's just a really good athlete. He's really good in the field with a big arm too. So he probably plays a little better in a real-life setting, I think, than a fantasy setting. But yeah, he's certainly one to watch, as he could keep moving up if the power does come about, which I hope it will, but right now it really hasn't.
Yeah. Is he, even with Coors, is he just like maybe a 10 homer guy? I think that's kind of what we're looking at now. But if he can get to be like a 15 to 20 homer guy, which I wouldn't rule out, I don't think I'm projecting him for that right now, but I think that's not out of the realm possibility. But that would be huge for his fantasy value to add into the speed, the approach, the average that he could probably hit for. So, yeah, definitely a fun guy, but yeah, I think borderline top 100 is fair, and maybe if he adds more power, he's a guy that could be top 50. I think that's the upside we're talking about here. The first down, we're going to the White Sox org here with George Walkow, the 7th round pick from this past draft, but even though he was only a 7th round pick, he was one of the more intriguing names, like in FYPD rankings, as a guy that had, he's 6'7", and has the massive power that you'd imagine a 6'7 guy to have, so there's plenty of intrigue there with him. And this year, he's got 4 home runs, 7 doubles in 24 games, hitting 258, 349, 462. So the slash run isn't bad, but he's also averaging 2 strikeouts per game right now, 48 strikeouts in just 24 games. And that is a strikeout rate of 45.3%. And you look at over the last 10 days here, he is striking out 55.9% of the time. He has 24 strikeouts in his, not even 19 strikeouts, excuse me, in his last 34 plate appearances. You know, he does have two home runs over this time. Wilkow is a guy we talked about last year's FYPD episodes that we did, and I think we were both fairly high on him. With him being so tall and having that bigger zone and already showing some strikeout issues in low A, he's only 18 and it's a small sample size. So I don't think it's something that's we're going to write him off yet, but is this a sizable concern for you right now with Wolcott moving forward, Chris?
I think you have to be a bit concerned, and I know it's a fun profile. I think he hit a ball 116 miles an hour already this year, so like, dude can mash, that's for sure. It's how much sacrifice is it with the contact? And so you mentioned really long levers. He is really young, so you give him the benefit of the doubt. He was supposed to be in this summer's draft class, reclassified last year, so he is a bit younger, and from that standpoint it's like, all right, maybe we'll give him a little bit of time, but still we need to see better contact skills. Like, the contact skills are absolutely atrocious, and what are the chances he just becomes like an Elijah Green, like a guy that could, but the contact skills are just so bad that it's like, he's never going to get to anything because he's running a 51% contact rate right now. He's super aggressive, 59% swing rate, so he's swinging at everything. I hope he succeeds. I really do. He was a South Carolina Gamecock commit. I had spoken with him a decent bit before the draft, and you know, I want him to succeed, but I would be lying if I told you that I wasn't concerned, because I am pretty concerned about the profile.
Yeah, and we've seen other buzzy prep bats that have had immense strikeout issues, and guys like Elijah Green is the first one that comes to mind, and different profile, different body, but just showing how these massive swing and miss issues can really make the even buzziest type of prospect fall way down rankings, to the point where Elijah Green checked in at number 498 in my last prospect rankings update. I was looking at him in that 500 range. I'm like, oh, let me keep him in for one more. But I was more so because I liked the name last year. he has not been good. And obviously, he has a bigger sample size than Wolcow does. But I'm hoping Wolcow doesn't go down that similar path, because, as you mentioned, like the 116 EV, I had a tweet maybe 2 weeks ago now. And I think at the time, I haven't looked since then, but at the time, I think it was 6 or 7 or 8, maybe 8 at most guys in the major leagues that hit a ball 116 plus. Yeah. And it was Ohtani, it was Stanton, it was Judge, etc. Ellie, I think Ellie was one, O'Neill Cruz, the guys you expect to be there. So in fact, the 18-year-old Wolcow down in this, been playing this year at the Complex and in low A, is one of those guys as well. That just shows you like the power upside that he has. But yeah, a lot of red flags here. But I'm still holding out hope. Maybe he can curb that issue. But again, I don't have a lot of faith in the White Sox development either. So we shall see on that, but let's go over from the White Sox to the Red Sox here. And Chris, what the heck has gotten into Cutter Coffee lately? This is a guy that was struggling for the most part with his first 25 or so games this year, and he had a couple injuries as well, a injury that cost him a few weeks in the first half of May. But over the last, 6 games, he has 7 home runs, 1 home run every game, and then he had 2 home runs on Friday, but still on the year, still only hitting .232, but 11 home runs overall in 35 games. So an interesting season there for Cutter Coffee, but you've seen him a good amount this year down in Greenville. So what are your thoughts here on Coffee? Is he a guy that people should be having on their radar moving forward, or do you think this is more like just a random power hot streak?
I do think it's more of a random power hot streak. Coffee entered the week hitting .200. Like, on Tuesday at the game, hitting .200. He obviously had homered Sunday previously. Homered Tuesday. Like, he's been obviously blazing hot. He hit 2 on Friday when I was there. But the EVs just aren't there. I mean, like, the two homers on Friday were like 95 and 98 miles an hour. Not like, you know, wow, he bombed it or anything. He is swinging a really confident bat right now. We can say that. He's hitting the cover off of the ball, like, just lifting well, getting the ball in the air, and it's working. Like, he's getting to the home runs, which has been really fun. So he did not play today, so the streak lives another day. He's currently sitting 6 straight games with home runs, so he'll enter next week heading to Rome and see if he can continue the streak. but he had 7 over the last 6 games. It's been really impressive. There are some things that have changed a little bit with the swing. I went back and pulled some film that I had from April to now, and you know, he does seem to be having less bat rap, like around his head. He's a little more balanced. He's deeper in the box. He is more, not flying open. He was flying open a little bit too much in some video I saw in April, and now he's like kind of staying connected much more through the zone and getting to power. So whether it sticks or not, I don't know. The question is, like, dude, Coffey's not great in the field. Like, he doesn't have a defensive home. He plays third, and it's not great. So I don't think he's a shortstop. I don't know if he's a second baseman. I have questions about the defense there, and that's really my biggest question mark, as well as the contact. Like, the contact has improved. I will note that the contact's improved with him over the course of the season, and it's a respectable contact rate. I think he's like an average contact hitter at this point, and I think it's like probably average power at best. You're not going to give you any speed either. So Coffey, yeah, it's a fun streak right now, but I'm going to pour a little cold water on it, and I obviously don't want to do that. I think that he's probably just going to be like an average hitter across the board, and I'm not super excited about the profile.
So what you're saying is Coffey isn't going to cut it long term.
Probably not.
I was sitting this whole time trying to think of a dad joke, because I was like, there's got to be something here with a cutter or a Coffey. I'm trying to think of more of a Coffey themed joke, but couldn't think of one. But
no, yeah, that's good.
I think he might just be another kind of Rochester have a few of these guys, like maybe Nick York or Chase Mydroth. That could be like a utility guy, backup infielder. I think that's what Coffey projects to be. He's played second, third, and short this year, so that could help him, even though he's, like you mentioned, not great defensively anywhere, but he can play those spots, could be of use to Boston down the road. But they already have a bunch of those guys. So, yeah, I just don't – it's been fun. Every day it's, oh, he homered again. Either you're posting it or someone else is, another Red Sox Twitter person that I follow. It's been a fun little streak here. But, yeah, I won't put much stock into Cutter Coffey moving forward either. The next down here, and I swear we're not trying to pick on the Chicago White Sox. This is just how it worked out this week. But the other down, second down, I should say, is Colson Montgomery, obviously a much more highly rated prospect right now than George Walkau. But he has also been pretty bad really all season. But over the last 10 days, he's 4-for-34 with a 34% strikeout rate. And overall this season, slashing just .215, .326, .368. With a K rate just a hair under 30%, which is up over 10% from last year. He was at 18.2% last year, had as many walks as strikeouts last year. But he's one where he's never going to be a guy that provides more than rogue steal here or there. So a guy that really needed the bat to be there, both in terms of providing average and OBP and hitting for solid power. And it's really, none of that's really been there this year. And he was coming off a back issue last year. I don't know if that's still affecting him. It's hard to say, and I don't want to speculate. But he's one that I've been a little bit lower on than most, I believe, just because I wasn't sure the bat was going to be that good. I mean, I thought the bat would be decent, like an above-average hit, above-average power guy. But I never thought he'd be like plus, like others thought. I kept him a little bit lower in my rankings. But this has just not been good this year. And he's 60 games into his AAA sample size now. So What are you making of these struggles here this year for Colson Montgomery, Chris?
It's been really strange to watch. Yeah, because he is a very contact-oriented hitter, and I really expected him to perform pretty well. And that's a pretty heavy hitter environment that he's in Charlotte. Like, you don't want to send a pitcher to Charlotte. And Colson's there. It's been shocking overall to just see the downturns. You'd expect a little more out of the profile. Contact skills are not what they were. He was hitting for much less contact than he ever has at any point in his career. Right now, it's a 73% overall and near 82% in zone. Chase rate's fine. It's low, but not hitting the ball all that hard. It's an 88 mile an hour average EV, 104.90. It's all right, but I want to see more out of him. I expected a little more in this hitter's paradise. And he really hasn't, you know, pushed himself in the conversation that he should be promoted at this point, which I thought he would by now.
Yeah, he's a guy that in the beginning of the year, I think I had him in the back half of my top 25 of my prospects to stash article I do every Tuesday over on Roto Baller. But he dropped down pretty quickly into the, I still have him like in honorable mentions, but yeah, he's not a guy that I think is up anytime soon. And really got to wonder, is he an impact bat? I mean, I think there's plenty of opportunity for him. Obviously the White Sox don't have a lot there right now. And anybody they do have, they might trade this year, like Luis Robert or whoever else. But yeah, I just don't think he's going to be an impact bat. Could he be a guy that's like a 260 and 15 to 20 homer guy? Sure. But is he guys going to hit 30 home runs? I don't think so. Is he going to hit 280 plus? I don't think so. So that's what kind of like, I'm wondering that plus the limited speed he has. Is he a top 100 guy anymore? I don't know. I think that question is coming into play at this point. But the last up here, going to Houston with Bryce Matthews, who has been raking really the entire season, but especially over the last 10 days, where he's slashing 410, 489, 744, four home runs and five steals. Then you look at the entire season. He's got six home runs, 13 steals in 25 games. 21 of those have been in high A Asheville with a 340, 452, 585 slash line. So you look at it, Chris, really fun surface stats right now. But Asheville is also a very hitter-friendly environment. What do you make of Matthews here? It's a pretty interesting profile moving forward.
Yeah, so I sat on this week, and he's a really fun athlete. They've pretty much moved him to third base at this point. Like, he played third base quite a bit this week, which I thought was interesting. Maybe tells me that they want to push him a little bit, see if he can handle third base. I thought he handled it pretty fine. He's a really good athlete. He moves well, decent glove. I think that, yeah, I look and Matthews, I'm going to pour cold water on him, but he really struggled with breaking balls and splitters. All the Red Sox guys have splitters at this point. Blake Wehunt made him look pretty silly a little bit with a splitter. Yordani Monegro made him whiff a lot, the splitter. He didn't strike out a ton. Like, I think he had five strikeouts in four games this week. But there's a lot of whiffs. And I wasn't, like, wowed by the profile. Like, he was fine. But I do know there's power in the bat. He's got good EVs. He can hit the ball hard. He doesn't chase out of the zone all that often. That shows good plate discipline. But the contact is still a major question mark. And since coming back from injury, the contact skills have still not been all that great. I think he's pulled up since he returned and got on this hot streak on June the 1st. His contact rate's 67%, which, yeah, it doesn't really reflect the kind of average he put up. He hit six home runs in Asheville, a hitter's paradise. But yeah, I think what you're looking at here is a good athlete. He's got speed. He's got pop. He's going to take a base via walk, but I do really question his ability to hit off speed and breaking balls. I think that's what I really noticed. And so I'm not like, I've seen everybody like talking like, oh, he's top 50 guy now, like after a week, but like, we don't drop guys significantly after one bad week, do we? No. So I think it's important to take it in stride and understand the context of what he did last week or 2 weeks ago at this point and where he was doing it. So, yes, I like Bryce Matthews. I think he's like a top 200 guy, but he's got to show improved contact skills before I go all in on him.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. I think you could even go as high as like a top 150 guy, given the power speed upside that he brings to the table. But yeah, I can't go top 100 yet. You got to want to, because he's really fun, but yeah, you got to look at the red flags in the profile as well, as you mentioned. So yeah, he's one we're definitely going to keep one to keep an eye on to see if he can make some improvements here over the next couple months before the end of the 2024 season. But I definitely got to, he could be top 50 by end of the year. He also could be outside of the top 250 by end of the year. I think there's a wide variance of potential ranking outcomes here over the next couple months. Last down here, going to Victor Scott II, the guy that had a ton of buzz this offseason and entering the 2024 season. The guy that came up and everyone thought he'd be an impact guy, obviously massive speed potential, but didn't do much of anything at all with St. Louis, and hasn't been that great since he went back down to AAA either. Overall this year in AAA, he's slashing 187, 273, 271. Yeah, he's got 17 steals, only been caught three times. That's a far cry from the pace he was on last year. I mean, he's still on a 65, 70 steal pace, but it's not a 100-plus steal pace like he was on last year. and just he's not doing anything with the bat. The K rate's low. He's not striking out, and he's walking right under 10% of the time. But that impact with the bat that we saw a bit last year, and also you and I both saw it live out in the AFL, where it was, he was one of the more impressive guys out there. And really every at bat, he was just hitting the ball hard. Sometimes it was right at the outfielder, but still the quality of his at bats were really good in our live looks. But this year, it's just been completely different guy. So do you think the 2023 Scott was a mirage, or do you think that he can get back to that level now and he's a good buy low? I'm on the fence. I'm not really sure what to think of him right now.
He's so tough. Like, I went really in on him, and it's obviously looked a little silly, but the EVs have not looked great. AAA looked terrible, actually. That's concerning. He's still making good contact, I'll say. In AAA, I know the numbers don't look great, but we're looking at 83% overall, 91% in zone contact. Those are elite numbers. Not quite elite, but very good numbers. 25% chase rate's good, but like the power is dissipated. And he was hitting balls very hard in the AFL, and his exit velocity data last year was good. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. At the end of the day, this is a guy that you need to get on base and to steal. A lot of his value was in steals, but it was a guy that could steal and also give you maybe 8 to 10 homers. And haven't really seen that guy. What I've seen this year doesn't look like a guy that could get 8 to 10 homers. Hopefully he gets back to that. But right now, I'm a little bit concerned about the profile.
It makes you wonder. Both of us and many others went pretty high on him last year. Were we wrong for doing so? That's the thing. Like, we always try to, when we do get stuff wrong, or even like, why did we get it? What happened to cause us to be right or wrong in our ranking or projection or what our analysis, let's say. And with Scott, like you mentioned, the numbers were better last year. So I'm starting to wonder, is it something we should have seen coming with Victor Scott? Or it's also the thing where sometimes hitters just regress really out of nowhere or break out of nowhere. It's baseball. We've seen that happen many times, and we'll continue to see that moving forward. But he's wondering, what's gone wrong with Victor Scott this year? It's really intriguing to really dig into, because he's just been like, and same thing with Jordan Walker. He's on AAA. He's been okay, but doesn't look like he's on the cusp of being recalled anytime soon to St. Louis. So both those guys, obviously very different profiles, but similar, where it was a lot of hype, and then this has really died off this year a good amount. So we'll see. I'm not like fully out on Victor Scott, but yeah, it's been pretty rough this year for sure. That is going to wrap us up here. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again on Thursday. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.